Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 19, The Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge, Text Number 16. Adavante cha madhye cha Sridhyat sridhyam yadan viyat Punastat pratishankrame Yachishyet tadeva sat Adavante cha madhye cha Sridhyat sridhyam yadan viyat Punastat pratishankrame Yachishyet tadeva sat Ado, in the causal stage. Ante, in the termination of the causal function. Cha, also. Madhye, in the phase of maintenance. Cha, also. Sridhyat, from one production. Sridhyam, to another production. Yat, which Anviyat accompanies. Punaha, again. Tat, of all material phases. Pratisankrame, in the annihilation. Yat, which Shishyeta remains. Tat, that. Eva, indeed. Sat, the one eternal. Commencement, termination, and maintenance are the stages of material causation. That which consistently accompanies all these material phases from one creation to another and remains alone when all material phases are annihilated is the one eternal. Purport. The Lord here reiterates that the one Supreme Personality of Godhead is the basis of unlimited material variety. Material activity is a chain of cause and effect relationships by which innumerable objects are produced. A particular material effect is converted into a subsequent cause, and when the causal phase is terminated, the effect disappears. Fire causes firewood to burn to ashes. And when the causal function of fire is finished, fire itself, which was the effect of a previous cause, is also terminated. The simple fact is that all material objects are created, maintained, and ultimately annihilated by the supreme potency of the Lord. And when the entire field of material cause and effect is withdrawn, so that all cause-effect relationships vanish, the personality of Godhead remains in his own abode. Therefore, although innumerable objects may function as causes, they are not the ultimate or supreme cause. Only the personality of Godhead is the absolute cause. Similarly, although material things may exist, they do not always exist. The personality of Godhead alone has absolute existence. By the process of jnana or knowledge, one should understand the supreme position of the Lord.
Om Ajnana Chimirandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chakshuram Militam Tena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukkam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Grinim Yadkripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam.
Ishvaraha Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadi Adi Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. The Supreme Controller is Krishna. He has a Satchit Ananda form. Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, Na sato vijate bhavo na bhavo vijate sataha ubayorapi krishtam tas tvanayos tatvadarshabhi. Those who are learned, tatvadarshi, right, those who can see the truth, know that of the impermanent there is no duration. Nasat. Nasato vijate bhavo, na bhavo vijate sataha. And of the permanent, there is no cessation. Krishna mentions this in relationship to the body, to the body of the living entity. The living entity is the constant, the constant feature of our existence is the fact that the spirit soul is present within the body. And the body is always changing. Right? Always changing. We start off very small, and then gradually it grows until, you know, we reach middle age and fully mature, and then it begins to dwindle, shrinks, till eventually we become like children again. Then we have to leave the body. But constant within the changes of the material body, was it dehinosmin yata dehe komaram jovanam jara tata dehantara praptis diras tatra namuyati. And this is why a sober person is not bewildered by the change, because even though the material body is going through changes, a person, the tatvadashi, a person who's seen the truth, or somebody who's a jnani, or even more elevated, a vijnani, realizes that whilst the body is changing, the self remains the same. This is why the Bhagavad Gita teaches us to concentrate on self-realization as opposed to bodily identification. You know, those who identify with the body as the self are bewildered by all of the changes that are going on, because it's, you know, we have a sense of identity, but when things are always changing, then we tend to think, who am I? What am I? What's going on? What is the purpose of existence? Therefore, Krishna recommends tolerate titikshastra, tabharata. One has to tolerate the changes of material existence, coming and going, ebb and flow, happiness and distress, pleasure and pain, victory and defeat, fame and infamy, all of the different dualities that exist, but which a transcendentalist understands is temporary, nasat, not permanent. So, even though as it is pointed out here, everything in the material creation has a prior cause. Everything has a prior cause. But the original cause is Krishna, ultimately. So therefore, Ishvaraha Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadi Adi Govinda. He is the beginning who himself has no beginning. Right? There is no beginning to the personality of Godhead. He is Sat, permanent. And even for ourselves, this is the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita, there is actually no beginning to the spirit soul. We're eternal. It's just that we've forgotten. Just like Krishna says in the fourth chapter, you know, Bahuni mevi atitani janmani tabacharajuna. Many, many births both you and I have had. I can remember all of them, but you cannot. And that's why the, you know, Krishna is described as achyuta. So even though he takes on numerous forms and appears in all of the millenniums, just as the living entity does, he never forgets. Basically because his transcendental form never deteriorates. It is eternal. Whereas the changing bodies of the living entity are the opposite. So he's Satchit Ananda. He's full of knowledge, whereas, you know, those who identify with material existence, it's Asat. Achit, it's ignorance. And Nir Ananda, there's some pleasure, but it doesn't last. It's material existence. So, just as we have variety in the spiritual world, so similarly we have variety in material existence. And that variety comes ultimately from the Supreme Person. You know, there's the nature of persons. They are unpredictable. That's their attractive feature. The attractive feature of each of us is that we have personality, and that personality is variegated. It all comes ultimately from Krishna. A nice example that Bhakti Sahib probably gave the other day about, and we were discussing at Krishna Fest the other day, the material realm has that sense of reality, although it's only a reflection, just like a reflection in the mirror. The reflection in the mirror looks real, but it is lacking, you know, substance. What were the examples that he was giving? The shadow. If you look at the shadow moves with the hand. So it has the features or characteristics of the real hand, and it moves in tandem with it, but it lacks the full features and an echo. When we hear an echo, I mentioned to the devotees at Krishna Fest, and when you go on Vrindavan Parikrama and you walk around Vrindavan, you test the success of your Parikrama by stopping at the well that's just on the corner of the Bhaktivedanta Marg and the Parikram Marg, and you call out Hari Bol or Hare Krishna, and then you get the voice comes back, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So if you can hear your voice clearly, then it's considered to be a successful parikrama. But it's not the original voice. It sounds like the original voice, but it is not. An echo is not the original. It looks like it, but it isn't. Same with the mirage. The mirage in the distance looks like water. But if you, you know, keep walking towards it, you think, okay, there's keep walking towards it, it just keeps on getting further and further away. This is the reflection. So the variegatedness of the material world is a reflection of the original spiritual variegatedness that exists in reality in the spiritual realm. The material realm is just a perverted reflection. And its cause is Krishna. What's another verse? Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matva vajante nam buddha bhava samanvitaha. I am the source of all of the creation. Everything, or what's another one? Mata parataram nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya. What's the next line? Mayi sarvam idam protam sutre mani gana iva. Is that right? Yeah. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. This is the nature of material existence. We see somebody's Tulsi Kantimala, right? We can't see the thread unless you've got a really scrappy old pair of beads on, which you shouldn't have in any case. But all you see is the beads. But if you take out the thread, everything falls apart. And the beads just scatter on the floor. So in material existence, we see the working of the material nature, we see the workings of material energy, but we don't see Krishna behind it. Unless we have transcendental vision. That's why we engage in devotional service. Atasi Krishna Namadi Nabhavid Krayam Indri Ai. Very difficult to understand and appreciate Krishna, the transcendent, with material senses. The material is not able to perceive spiritual. That's why, you know, you can open up somebody's heart, have an operation, open heart operation, and try to look for the soul, but as much as you cut up the heart, you won't find the soul in there. It's not perceived by material senses. It is perceived through spiritualized or purified sense perception. And one gets the purified sensual perception by engaging in devotional service. And that begins with hearing and chanting. Seva mukhe hijivado svaya neva sparatyada. Devotional service begins with the tongue. In that case, we usually say that devotional service begins with hearing. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. But if you're hearing, somebody has to be speaking, so it does begin with the tongue. Somebody's speaking. You know, in the Bhagavatam, or in the Bhagavad Gita, what is it? Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. So it's Krishna speaking. or it's the spiritual master speaking, or it's the sadhus or saintly persons speaking, or we're hearing the shastra. Ultimately, the shastra is somebody speaking. And that way, then we come to an understanding, a proper understanding, and we act. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasthena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshanah. We are inquisitive. We approach a learned person and inquire. Then we act. This is the process of devotional service, hearing from the authority. So in this way, we can understand that there is a prior cause to everything. That prior cause is Krishna, Anadi Adi Govinda. And unlike all of the material causes which have a prior cause themselves, he is the only one who has no prior cause. Right? There is no prior cause to the personality of Godhead. That's what makes him unique, because he's the cause of everything else. Sava karana karanam. So when you take away all of the material causes, you're left with only one cause. Although even in the spiritual sense, there are still causes, because you know we have Lord Brahma. He's the cause of the creation. He comes from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, right? He's an expansion of Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu comes from the quadruple expansions, the Chaturvyuha, the second Chaturvyuha, which comes from the first Chaturvyuha, which ultimately comes from who? Lord Balaram. And where does Lord Balaram come from? From Krishna. So even we finish off the material causes, there's still a few spiritual causes to go before we get back to the original Krishna. Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause of all causes. That's quite a meditation. And the means by which we understand that cause, if you like, is through the process of devotional service. This is the means by which we can understand our relationship. And so therefore, Buddha Bhava Samanvitaha, you know, those who are wise engage in devotional service. You know, as Gangasara Prabhu was saying the other day, the real test of knowledge is not how much you know, but how you act or behave. You know, we can accumulate a lot of information, but if we don't act on it, it's useless. And the real test of a person's knowledge is how much we understand. Jivera Svarupa Hoy Nitya Krishna Das. So we're actually a servant of Krishna. This is the real understanding. We test a person's advancement by how much they're prepared to engage in devotional service. Because we know by the rendering of service, Krishna reveals himself to the sincere devotees, right? Desham satata yuktanam panchatam pritipurvagam tadami buddhi yogam tam jainamam upayanti te. Krishna says, I give the sincere devotees the realization, the intelligence, the understanding by which they can come to me. So we can appreciate these points that you know, the material body is always changing. The cause of the body is the presence of the soul. If we work for the body, we'll just be bewildered. But if we work for the soul's interest, and ultimately the soul's interest means working for the benefit of Krishna, then we'll realize our original spiritual identity. That is the purifying power, or the process of devotional service is the purifier. Pavitram idam uttamam. Right? Krishna says pavitram. Pavitra means purifier. The process of devotional service is the purifier by which we can understand these principles, by which we can understand our own identity in its pure state, and our identity in relationship with Krishna. Self-realization means understanding ourselves, but also understanding Krishna. And when we understand Krishna, what is it? Krishna Surya Sam, Maya Haya Andhakar, Yahan Krishna Tahan Nahi, Maya Adhikar. So when the sun comes up, you see the sun, and you also see yourself. Right? At night, when everything is dark, you hear a little bang, and you go, ooh, what's that? In ignorance. You know, it used to be able to scare Lalita. She would want to go to the bathroom, but she had to walk through Chincharupa's room, and it was dark. She's very young. And I used to tell her, watch out for the boogeyman under the bed. Can you turn the light on for me, please? I probably couldn't do it to her now, but I used to tease her. Watch out for the boogeyman under a chincharupa's bed. He's just waiting there to catch you. But when the light's on, where's the boogeyman? He's gone. So when the sun comes up, or when we become Krishna conscious, then automatically we appreciate Krishna. We also can understand ourselves. We can understand our relationship with Krishna. And we're happy to work in that connection. You know, Prabhupada gives the example of the little finger. The little finger has its identity. If you chop off your little finger, it still has its identity as a little finger. But when it's not connected to the hand, then it's useless. When it's connected to a hand, then it can work in its constitution, or in its natural, in its original position. And it's happy to do that. So when we're connected to Krishna, and we're situated in our constitutional position, and we're working in cooperation or in harmony with Krishna, then we are able to realize or appreciate our identity, our relationship with Him, and we can act in a wholesome, integrated, complete fashion. And that depends on understanding these, you know, this very basic principle. Krishna is the source of everything. I am His servant. Outside of that relationship, we're like the little finger that's been chopped off from the hand. Useless. You know, we think we're independent and we can do what we like, but we can't. We'll be caught up again by the laws of material nature. And it mentions here, by the process of jnana, or cultivation of knowledge, one should understand the supreme position of the Lord. Now, we do that by engaging in devotional service. That's our understanding. We may not originally even understand that much. That's why coming into the association of devotees is so integral and important for us to appreciate our relationship with Krishna, because by the mercy of the devotees, they grab us, we're in ignorance, we don't know what's going on, and they say, okay, go and wash the pots. Huh? Now, as soon as we go and wash the pots, then automatically we're engaged in Krishna service. We're acting as his servant. Elevated to a very high position. We haven't got a clue what's going on. But we're still, like Prabhupada says, a mango is a mango. Whether it's a ripe mango or a sour mango, a green mango, it's still a mango. So it's still devotional service. We just haven't got a realization of it. And as we engage in the process of devotional service, pavitram idam uttamam, because it is purifying, raja vidya raja guyam, it's a secret. It's secret in the sense that it's esoteric. Esoteric means it's hidden. But because it's pavitram, it's purifying, when we engage in devotional service, then the end result is knowledge. The end result is knowledge. Just like in the, is it in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita or the fourth or fifth? Third, I think. Where there's, Krishna discusses those who see a difference between the cultivation of knowledge and the performance of devotional service. But actually they go together, they're the same thing. Ultimately, if you come to the point of knowledge or understanding, the proper point of understanding, then you'll come to the realization, Jivera Swarupa Hoi Nichara Krishna Dasa. You're a servant of Krishna. And then you engage in devotional service. We sort of do it around the other way. We engage people in devotional service, and then by the purification of that activity, then we realize, yes, I'm Krishna's servant. The end result is the same. And, what is the end result? What is the end result of knowledge? One should become happy. This is our test. Susukam katam avyayam. We're not interested in the material. Well, we shouldn't be. We may be, due to, misidentification. We may be interested in the material, but ultimately we're not interested in the material causes and effects. Because we know, nasat, it's temporary, it doesn't last. Whereas by engaging in devotional service, we get connected to the sat, to the eternal. We may not have an appreciation of it initially, but that doesn't matter. As we make progress on a path of devotional service, as we engage in the process of devotional service, gradually Krishna reveals himself to the devotee. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. Krishna inspires the aspiring transcendentalist. I mean, in the sixth chapter, right? When Arjuna says, where's the benefit for me if I strive for spiritual perfection but I fail? I'm materially a failure and spiritually a failure. Right? And Krishna says, no, you're not a failure. You take birth again in a family of wealthy aristocratic. Yeah. You get an opportunity to take birth in a family, in a wealthy family, or in a family of devotees, wherein one will then automatically again be attracted to the principles of devotional service. You know, I mentioned this the other day, but Prabhupada was making this point that even if you're a perfect, even if you do everything according to Dharma, you can't be guaranteed where you're going to end up. You can take birth as a dog or a demigod or whatever in between. Whereas for a devotee, even if a devotee is unsuccessful, even if we're not fully successful, we're guaranteed to take birth again in a human form of life and to take up again the process of devotional service. You know, that's why, you know, it's hard for us to appreciate how it is that, you know, we're blundering around in material existence, not really knowing what we're doing, totally frustrated usually, and then we meet the devotees and then all of a sudden there's this attraction for devotional service. Where did that come from? And even we think these people are nuts, just like Narayani mentioned last night. You know, there was everybody thought that the devotees were crazy, because in those days they were wearing sheets. The householders had yellow sheets, and the brahmacharis and the brahmacharinis had saffron sheets. So everybody was thinking, these people are crazy. I remember when I first saw the devotees, I thought, ooh, what's wrong with these guys? You know, who has a bald head? But by the same token, you know, totally attracted to what are they doing? What are they chanting? You know, when I hear the Maha Mantra, and I was very attracted to the chanting of Hare Krishna. Why? That's the mercy of ultimately that's the mercy of Krishna. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nagati katopi. By Krishna's mercy we get the association of the devotees. And by the association of the devotees we get Krishna. That's why the mercy of the devotee is so important to understand Krishna. Why devotional service is so important to understand Krishna. And, you know, absorption in devotional service is so satisfying and uplifting for the devotee who practices, you know, carefully, with determination, with patience, with enthusiasm. Then the material world, it shrinks. You know, it becomes insignificant. And the spiritual world then opens up into its all-attractive form. So if we were to understand Krishna as the cause of all causes, of the cause of all variety, then we have to engage in devotional service. That's our method of cultivating knowledge. Not that we have to go and, you know, just become bookworms. Or, you know, what is it? Speculators, armchair philosophers, you know, just talk about it, and don't do anything. Right? Not that we don't understand the philosophy, I'm not suggesting that we, you know, be numbskulls also. Right? Because Prabhupada didn't want numbskulls. There's an interesting Nectar of Devotion lecture where Prabhupada makes a point to the devotees and he says, let us discuss this threadbare. So Prabhupada wanted us to also be scholarly. But, you know, the scholarship means then don't sit on your backside and just talk about it. Go out and do it as well. So that's the interesting characteristic of devotional service is, yes, we do cultivate knowledge. Knowledge that supports bhakti. Right? So that's why Prabhupada's called Bhakti Vedanta. Right? The end of all knowledge related to what? Bhakti, nothing else. And bhakti means, you know, get off your backside and do something. unless we're exceptionally advanced, and you know. And even then, the very advanced devotees, the Uttamadikari, still comes back down to the Majjhim level to preach. Which means, be active. You know, even though Prabhupada was such an elevated devotee, wasn't he just sat around and did nothing? Right? We were discussing the other day, you know, it took, was it Jamuna? Took her all day to cook, to prepare 50 samosas, wasn't it? In the meantime, Prabhupada cooked another 15 preparations. So this is our, you know, this is our jnana, our cultivation of knowledge is understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, yes, but then put it into practice. And then through that purification, by being engaged in devotional service, Krishna reveals himself. So does anybody have any comments or questions? Yes. Wishery.
You were saying there, I remember a time that the test of our knowledge is how much we're willing to engage in much
more. Yep.
And yet, we see a lot of devotees who take on a lot of things and have a lot of anxieties and a lot of
stress. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if my anxiety makes you happy, then that anxiety is my happiness. Right? So a devotee doesn't mind taking on anxiety for Krishna. In fact, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also mentions, you know, if you can purchase that anxiety in a marketplace, then you should go and buy it at any cost. Because it's Krishna, it's related to Krishna. Right? And it absorbs us intensely in meditating on Krishna and Krishna's service. So, that's good. Isn't it? We're thinking of Krishna. And we're thinking of Krishna intensely. So what's wrong with that? We think, you know, Om Shanti, you know, just take it easy. Spiritual life means be peaceful. Well, forget it. Look at the gopis, right? They're always in anxiety thinking about how can I please Krishna? How can I dress nicely for Krishna? How can I cook nicely for Krishna? You know, you see the description of the Rasa Leela when the gopis come into the forest and they're even so bewildered by that anxiety. You know, they put their top piece on the bottom and the bottom piece on the top. So, you know, in one sense they've gone mad. Right? Yet they're worshipped as the topmost devotees. Their anxiety to be with Krishna has caused them to, by material estimation, you know, do everything wrong. But actually they're absorbed in thinking of Krishna. So, you know, the advantage of devotional service and becoming more and more absorbed in devotional service, even if it creates anxiety, it means that one becomes more and more absorbed in Krishna. That's what we want. How's that sound? Now, we shouldn't become so absorbed and so that we slacken in our devotional practice. Right? We should, you know, it's got to support. It is, you know, sometimes devotees become too absorbed in their service and then they weaken in the basic areas of Shravanam Kirtanam. And then what will happen is their absorption in service will weaken also. But otherwise, you know, accepting some anxiety for Krishna is not all, it's not bad. The worst you can do is go back home, back to Godhead. Huh? What do you think? And you know, whenever I think of Korma and how much anxiety he's able to generate in the kitchen. He's coming today. And, you know, he's a wholesale merchant of Krishna anxiety. So if you want to purchase some, he'll probably be able to wholesale some to you. Cook a feast, a Raja festival. Ginger Rupa also has got a wholesaler's license, I think. And if you stick around with me also, I'll sell you some as well, but I do it in a quieter. You got to watch out for the quieter salespeople because they're more tricky. They get you to do stuff and you don't even realise it. Then all of a sudden you realise. I was just given a big responsibility. But that's the mercy of the devotees. You know, when Prabhupada did the first initiation at 26 Second Avenue, you know, the devotees were asking, "Well, what is it?" You know, they all wanted to get initiated, but some of them were asking, "Well, what does it mean?" Right? And then Prabhupada, you know. Prabhupada said to them, when they came and asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada says, "I'm glad you asked that question." Means 16, you know. And what did Prabhupada say? He says, "You have to worship the spiritual master as good as God." And of course, you know, I was like, "What? Worship the guru?" Swamiji's been telling us that we shouldn't worship any man as if he's God. And now he's telling us we have to worship him as good as God. And you know, chant 16 rounds and follow the regulative principles. Some of the devotees weren't aware of that until he got to the fire sacrifice. as I mentioned, devotional service is devotional service whether we fully understand it or not. And it is purifying. Just as a mango is a mango even in an immature stage. But it'll ripen and fructify into a juicy fruit. And we get that by the mercy of the devotees, basically. Anything else? Savannah.
I just had a question about another question about permission service. Is there
I think any service is good, ultimately. It's all service. But higher is that which is unmotivated. Kati Rupa Goswami. In other words, you know, but then again, see, it's a little bit tricky. It is up to the devotees and the, you know, acting as the spiritual master, to engage each individual according to their propensity and according to their capacity. Right? So, you know, how many of us would be able to do what Prabhupada did? We don't have that capacity. Yet, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave Prabhupada instructions right from the beginning, you know. Mind you, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada wasn't the only person that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada gave that instruction to. Prabhupada was the only one who really had the capacity to do it. But, you know, we do need to be a little bit careful. We need to know our own limitations. No? And when we're helping others, we need to understand their limitations as well. And not, you know, try to force people into doing things and then chastising them, you know, you're unsurrendered. You know, you're in Maya. Why don't you just do it? No? Rather than being mean on each other. So it's an art to engaging people so that eventually, you know, that mood of taking on anything is done spontaneously with enthusiasm and not begrudgingly, right? That's important. So how to engage a person and how much we can do, we need to understand that. We need to understand our own limitations and, you know, capacity. We need to appreciate the capacity and limitations of others. Just like, you know, on a football team, or in a cricket team, for example, since we, most of us will know the cricket analogy, there's no point in chastising the fast bowler because he can't, he's not an opening batsman. You know, you don't say to the opening, to the fast bowler, you're a lousy batsman. He's not on the team because he's a batsman. He's there because he's a fast bowler. And the same with the opening batsman. You don't chastise him because he can't bowl. But you put both of them on the team because you know that you need them at certain times to do certain things. Huh? So, you know, wanting to be like, you know, a soul surrendered to Krishna like Prabhupada is probably unrealistic for us. And knowing what's within our capacity is beneficial. And also, similarly, we need to learn and appreciate the benefit, you know, the good things that the other devotees bring to devotional service, even if they're not able to do everything perfectly. Huh? But we also know that if we're too picky and too, you know, Prabhu, well, here's an example. Devotees, we give them, we're given some service, and we're enthusiastic to do it for a couple of weeks, but then on the third week, oh no, I can't do that anymore. Huh? Or I forgot. Or who put my name on the roster? It's only been there for the last 6 months, but you know. How did that get there? Well, it's only been there for a while. So, you know, we do get tested. We do get tested, and we're tested, you know, it's that nitya seva, which means that day in, day out service. Do you know what I mean? And we should do it. If we're capable of doing it, we're just not don't happen to be enthusiastic. That's a test of our love, actually, and affection for Krishna. In little things, we're tested. So, you know, unconditional service is better than conditional service, yeah, I'll do it today but I won't do it tomorrow, kind of thing. Right? That's conditional. All that devotees say, yeah, it's all voluntary. Yes, you volunteered to come here and do service. Now do the service. Not, I volunteer when I feel like it. Right? That's conditional. But we volunteer. We say to the guru, yes, I'll be your servant. Then the spirit, and that's voluntary. But then the spiritual master says, okay, jump. And you say, oh, no, I'm too tired. I can't do it. Right? So that's, you know, that's where we really have to, certainly we should, you know, if we are tired or whatever, then make another arrangement. You know what I mean? Adjustments can be made for, but motivated and unmotivated devotional service, better if it's unmotivated and we do it enthusiastically, even with a sense of duty that has to be there. Sometimes, especially in the beginning. How's that sound? Huh? Well, and we'll get tested. You know, you get tested. I used to... the temple commander used to, was a bully. He used to just do stuff to, you know, make life tough for you. I don't think we have that situation now. You know, it'd be 10 to 6 and he'd come up to me and he'd go, have a guess what, Bhakta Andy? You're doing the kitchen clean up tonight. After I'd already been out on a day of Sankirtan and had been to the market in the morning, hadn't finished my rounds yet. I feel like blooping. Right? So, you know, anyway, you get the idea. You're unsurrendered. What do you mean unsurrendered? I'm tired. I'm not just tired, I'm exhausted. And I don't want to be your football. Huh? I don't think we have devotees like that here at the moment. But, you know, there's... So, you know, we engaging people have to be a little bit sensitive. But also sometimes you have to be a bit firm, right? That, and as we get old, you know, what I can do now over 50, I probably wasn't very successful doing at 35, because now I'm like a I'm a bit like a father figure, so I can be a little bit, you know, a bit firmer. But as, if it's done, you know, just like a parent. Speaking of parents, Rasavilasini and Mohini, Rahini, when Rahini's not doing her homework, right, then mum puts a bit of pressure on her. Right? Come on. Now that's done out of affection and love. But when it's like that, that's okay. If it's just bullying and meanness, then that's not never appreciated. So that's on one side, and then the other side is we as servants need to think of things intelligently and arrange things. If we accept some responsibility, we should not shirk it and make adjustments if needed so that the service, you know, so that things get done. Not be whimsical. Okay. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Bhaktavinda Ki Jai.